Now, I'm sitting there, and I could have outdone their stories, and you all know it. I could say, well, I buried a child. And I said, but I had one they thought had cancer, and then he did have cancer because of the power of God. And yeah, I could have done all that, and I would have when I was self-righteous. But God got that out of me, thank goodness, just last week for sure. And I didn't even feel led to do that. But it made me pray. And then I came back. I got on the phone to somebody trying to sell me something. She's really good at it. And so I started telling her about Jesus. I said, you ought to be an evangelist. I mean, you almost sold me this. You should really be an evangelist. And she said, well, I'll take that as a compliment. And she said, I don't know, something that came up about denominational churches. And I said, she said, well, I just think we should be open to all churches. And I said, no, we shouldn't. And I just started telling her all this and sent her a book. Anyway, and I just really told her about the power of God to heal and how horrible, how sad it was to sit in a store and people who were representing Christ talking about there was no hope. No different than the world, except for they were handling it better. And they, hopefully they were. But I just said, I went home and I prayed and I just said, God, we got to change this. I mean, I know you already want to. Where's the laborers? Where are the people who will get in the kingdom to bring hope? Kevin, that would not have helped you if I sat there and said, poor you, would it? It wouldn't have helped. But when I told you about God and his love and his power to heal and how he's going to walk you through and the truth of his word, that brought hope, didn't it? I'm glad you came and talked to me instead of the ladies representing Christ in the fabric shop. What do they get when they come to talk to you, Margaret? What do they get when they come to talk to you? I want everybody to stop a minute and decide if you want to be in the kingdom or not. Not where pretended faith and it's all about you and how spiritual you are because you think you're in the kingdom then, but you're really in the world, and then it's a big mess. And then people mock God. But to really believe and to say what he says and to spend time in his presence. Here's the thing about the kingdom. I can spend time in his presence. I can spend time with God. Do you all realize what an awesome, unbelievable miracle that is? See, you could ask that. Muslims don't think they can spend time with God. You know, in his presence. I mean, that's what they're crying out for. They're trying to please him. You're looking at behavior and trying to see what to please him and constantly striving for that. And look at the fruit it's produced. Some really bad fruit to the degree that you become more self-righteous. How terrible. But really, if we could get in the kingdom and help other people know how real that is, and even our kids, then people will be drawn. Not all will be drawn. Judas wasn't drawn. Even though he saw miracles and he sat in the presence of God and he saw perfect teaching, he wasn't drawn. That is one of the most sad things in the Word of God, that somebody can be in perfect ministry and still love the power and the money and the things of the world. And that's a real truth. There will be people in hell who have been in real ministry and really heard of God and really were so self-deceived, so self-righteous, that they really missed the power of God. And there are people who really don't want it, which is amazing. My desire is to get all of you in the kingdom. Not just God inside of you, but you inside of his, knowing you're in the kingdom and operating in the kingdom and praying in the kingdom and faith that moves mountains. Here's the key. In the kingdom, it's not about what you're doing, and it's not about your circumstances, and it's not about behavior. In the kingdom, it's about a heart that has connected with God and then believes God. And then everything they do comes forth from believing in their heart. Can you see the difference? Can you see the difference? Outside of the kingdom and in religion that can sound like kingdom, it is fear-based. It is self-righteous, even to the place of making God look unfaithful to his word and we looking so good. Okay? So, wherever you're operating in fear, you got to realize you are out the enemy. If fear will attack, okay? Fear will attack. And so it's pretended faith to pretend it's not attacking. Fear will attack, but when it attacks, stop. Do not respond to fear. Because we're in the kingdom. So when fear attacks, that's the time I need. I always need to be with God, but when fear attacks, I specifically need to get into the presence of God. Whether it's with, you know, worship music, anointed teaching, just hanging out with God, making your mind be still until you can hear from God. And then you just walk in what he shows you, even though it can be so fearful. See, in the kingdom, get this, guys, in the kingdom, I'm being led by God, even when it looks crazy. And you won't even know for sure. Nobody's going to be able to tell until you get to the side of victory. The enemy will use everybody and everything while you're being led of the Spirit of God in the kingdom to make you go back into unbelief and into doing it by behavior. Do you understand that? And it's faith. It's that relationship with God, that faith that says, no. What is over there you want to go back to? I just want to ask you that. There's no reason to go back there. The kingdom is a real thing. A kingdom of God is at hand. The Bible says when you cast out demons, the kingdom has come to you. So my prayer is you will come on Friday night and learn to cast out demons so you can get the yay revelation that the kingdom of God has come to you. There's divine gifts of God that operate in the kingdom through human beings. It's amazing. It's really awesome. And the key, the biggest thing, is there's no fear. I mean, look at Norman sitting on the front row after having open heart surgery 2 weeks ago. And he went to the doctors today, and they said that his blood work and the kidney function all was better. Here's what they said to him. Wow, you heal really fast. There's not even hardly a scar. And it wasn't because he could not change his behavior with his wrong eating habits and that kind of lack of exercise and all. He couldn't change his behavior and it really and deal with the spiritual that would be real. But when he got free from the counterfeit peace thing that guards his heart and he faced his fear, and he'll tell you this, and tell everybody, if I'm wrong, tell me the right way, but it's just faster if I tell it, but he had fear attack him the night after the surgery. And it was making him numb and his leg was feeling strange. And he really freaked out to where the nurse asked Irene if he'd had panic attacks before. Well, I was so happy to hear he was having a panic attack. Well, what kind of pastor is that? Because he had false peace that got him almost a heart attack, almost seduced him to a place of the big heart attack that you're out of here. Triple bypass. God in his faithfulness, you know, let the symptoms show up enough for him to go to a doctor. But when I went in to pray for him, why? I didn't go in and pray for him with prayers of human wisdom. I didn't go in and pray for him based on his behavior. I didn't go in and pray for him based on what everybody else thought would be a nice prayer. I really didn't go by behavior because I really, personally, seriously, was a little leery about laying hands on him in a hospital when he's being set up for a triple bypass surgery, and I knew the power of God hits him pretty hard because I didn't want to stop his heart. So I did that. I was like, be gentle, Holy Spirit. Don't normally be gentle. Just receive this without a lot of commotion. I also didn't want doctors and nurses running in because monitors are going off. But I knew this. I'm in the kingdom, and God has shown me what to pray and shown me what to cast out, and I better do it. So I did. And I even said, I really thought you were going to go through surgery, but, you know, if you get faith not to, fine. But we prayed that he would go and have perfect surgery, and that's what happened. I have a word for you, Michelle, and I'll tell you before you leave. I mean, I'll tell everybody, but I knew who Kevin was telling you, so I thought I'd tell. So here's the thing. We broke the power of the false peace so that he could spend real time with God that night, facing his fears and not avoiding them. Fears that are avoided are going to get you. Fears that are denied are going to cause you harm. Fears that you're blind to, it's a trap, it's a snare of the enemy to destroy you. So in the kingdom, we have to get rid of all these things that we took on in the world to handle fear. All of it. Everything we did to handle fear before it was truly the Holy Spirit in us, leading us in his kingdom. Everything before that, even though we might have been a Christian, if we didn't know who he was and the power of him and his kingdom teaching, and we didn't really understand that, we still could take on wrong thinking and fear. Do you understand what I'm saying? And every bit of that, we've got to get free from and renounce. Okay? The cool thing is you can train up your children and see that they're in the kingdom while they're young. And they won't have to go through all this. Praise God. So in the kingdom, you do what the Lord tells you to do, and it's not a formula. And then when you do something, it happens. And you don't pray the same way every time, because you only do what the Father's doing. In the kingdom, you see what the Lord is doing, and you obey him. How many could do that? If somebody really told you, do this, do that. Okay, no rebellion in here. Everybody stand up. See, a few of you can do it. Jeez, it's going to be hard to get you where you need to go. All right. Everybody sit down. Okay. Except for Caroline. It was difficult for her. She's right. She wants to. She stood up in her heart. That's right. She made her chair go up and down. All right. For everybody else, was that difficult? No. Was it difficult?
No.
Why? You're just obeying. In the kingdom, for real, that's how easy it's supposed to be. And how much better to be obeying God? That's how easy. That's how easy. That's how easy healing is. That's how easy miracles are. That's how easy to see your family saved. That's how easy to see finances come. In the kingdom, you just obey. Now, he's going to give you something to obey. What God's going to give you to obey, the enemy's going to do everything he can to make you not obey. Everything. So if you have to work out some personal problems, you're going to have every excuse not to do it. You're going to have blinders on. Okay, look, get this. The enemy knows that if you should get saved, then God comes inside of you. If you should ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life and mean it, Holy Spirit's going to come inside of you. And the devil knows, boy, when that happens, they are going to have the same power and authority that Jesus Christ walked in, because the Holy Spirit of God is going to live in them. And if they learn his voice and they learn to trust and obey him, it's curtains for me. It's going to be bad. So the enemy strategically does everything he can in your life to make sure that you will not hear God or obey God or can trust God. And he's going to keep you circumstance, behavior focused, and self-righteous to do it. All right? So what we're trying to do is set up a teaching here and just keep adding to this every Tuesday night to help you by the Spirit of God to get free from what the enemy has done to keep you from entering into the rest that God promises, entering to the Spirit, entering to His presence, entering to hearing Him and obeying Him. Okay? So, let's start tonight, or it's kind of like to start tonight. Gosh, time goes so fast. We're going to do the charts next week, okay? So if you got a chart, I'll tell you in a few minutes what to do with it. Michelin, here's your word real fast before I get into this. All right, I was praying about your whole situation. And I was reading, this book is so good. It's by A.A. Allen. We have some copies. It's just a fee for us running it off and the time and all. We did that. I think they're asking $5, $4? $4. There's some more available. Aren't there some more available? There aren't any more available right now. By Friday night, there are going to be 5 in the bookstore at all times. By Friday night, there's going to be 5, not 4, 5 in the bookstore at all times. So if you want to get one Friday, they'll just be in there. They are so good. If you have a computer and you like to read things on the computer, you want to write it off for yourself, you can. I don't know how to do all that. Just ask Nicole or Jordan at the end of the meeting. But if you want to get one here, it's not copyrighted, so we can make all we want. We're going to use it on Friday night and part of the teaching. So everybody ought to run off their own copy or get one from us between now and maybe not this Friday, but sometime along the way. It's a powerful book. Powerful book. Anyway, I was reading that. The Holy Spirit had me wait. I was praying for you and praying for your situation and stuff. The Lord had me open that. And it said, he gave me the scripture where he says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And it's about the fig tree. And what he's talking about there, and A. Allen really explained it really good, was God can give you supernatural faith, divine faith, that changes even the order of nature. Even what would happen in nature, God can give you faith to stop. And I personally believe that God gave the faith that you had in yourself from your relationship with God caused you to tell the doctors, no, give me a week. And I believe that was all God was really requiring you to do, and to learn how to fight the enemy and to grow stronger. And then he brought you here. And I really believe what happened was he gave me supernatural faith. It wasn't my faith. It wasn't based on anything to do with me. It's a gift. Remember in Corinthians, one of the gifts is a gift of faith. That gift of faith is not your faith based on your relationship with God. Everybody has faith based on their relationship with God. With that faith, you prophesy. With that faith, you move in the gifts of the Spirit. As that faith increases, your gifts of discerning of spirits, your gifts of word prophecy, they all increase. The level increases. If you look at someone, you don't, do you want my anointing? Tell people, no, I don't want your anointing. I already have God living inside of me. I want faith increased. Now, some people are gifts to the body, and they have demonstrations of these things to make us hungry for them. And when we see that, we should be hungry to have the faith to see that gift operate in our life. But if you really want to get hungry, see how it operated in the life of Jesus. Because that's really looking at the apostolic. So anyway, so the Lord said to me, he said, I gave you my faith, God's faith, to believe for that baby. And I exposed the schemes of the enemy, because all I required, her way of escape, was to say no to what the doctors were saying and to do the warfare and to keep believing me. And then God chose to drop that faith in. And I just believe that. I really believe that, because it would be harder for me to believe what the doctors are saying than to believe what God's telling me. But I'm not trying to convince myself. I'm not trying to convince anybody. Those who are thinking, well, what if you're wrong? Well, I don't believe that I am. And if I am, which I don't believe I am, it doesn't mean I was. It means maybe I missed it along the way, but I'm not planning on doing that, because I'm not going to listen to your unbelief and doubt. And so none of that's going to affect me. And I'm just going to stand, whoa, where God's told me to stand. But in the past, people have said, and I have even said, that they believed one thing and something else happened. And that doesn't stop what God's word says. If you miss it, then you humble yourself and you go to God and you say, where did I miss it? Like I did when my daughter died. I didn't change scripture. I didn't change who God was. And I didn't say his promises weren't true. Had I done that, I know I would have buried a son by now. So I'm really thankful that God gave me the grace to believe his word over the circumstance. God is faithful even when we are not. The Bible says so. So anyway, I feel like that's what's operating, just so you know. With you, Kevin, I really believe it was compassion, because the scripture says he healed him. He either heals by their, you're healed by your faith or the compassion of God. And I really believe God gave all of us a compassion for you that night that he chose to pour down on us, that we entered into, that we got rid of our own agendas and came into your circumstance as touching with you in agreement for God, whoa, to heal you. Ha! And I really believe the compassion of the Lord was released to bring healing to you. So, and I say that because you can't make a pattern of that. That doesn't mean everybody who walks in here is going to be healed. It means they're going to get what God wants them to get if we will listen and yield. Because if Norman had gotten healed the first day he came, he would have been 7 times worse, and he probably would have died before he could have gotten free. So God knows all this stuff. Bottom line, though, what God promises in the Word is the finish line for every person and every trial, and you are not to come against that. And you never receive somebody coming against that.